Lord Jesus, I thank you for your speaking during this time. We pray that you would equip us in this time and train us, strengthen each one of us to go this way with you. You're the beginning and the end of our faith. We pray that we would all reach the goal. Bring us into your glory. The title of this conference is To Be Perfected Through Sufferings. Today I spoke to a mother who was at the daycare where my daughter is also, and I told her that we would have a time to talk about the sufferings. She was pretty amazed. To be perfected through sufferings. I think this title is not a title that we would like to have, but I am convinced that the Lord wants to speak something to us that would help us go on and that would really help us make progress. And the sufferings are really something important through which the Lord can do a lot. Since last year, during the springtime, we had fellowship about Isaiah, and we've already received much light concerning what Isaiah, or what the Lord prophesied through Isaiah. And I just want to summarize a bit so that we know where we started and where we are going. God revealed to Isaiah the condition of God's people. And Isaiah describes this condition. Where can we still bruise you or afflict you? Because the whole head is sick and the whole body. This is how terrible the condition was at that time. And the Lord showed us many sicknesses that are in us that he needs to heal. If we see that we need healing and accept it, then he can fully heal us. And Isaiah has 66 chapters. But the Lord shows us the goal already in the second chapter. Right after he showed this horrible condition of his people, he already shows us the goal. In chapter 2, verse 3, it says, many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This really filled us with joy and hope. God has a goal with his people, and this goal is Zion, Jerusalem. God will never give up on Jerusalem. He holds fast to this goal. And today, it's also about Jerusalem, namely the heavenly Jerusalem. As believers, the church is the heavenly Jerusalem, and God wants to have Zion, the city in which he reigns as king. And if God will reign as king, then there are many, many enemies who are against this city. In chapters 13 to 23, the Lord shows us very clearly He wants to have a people where he is king. And because of this, there are many enemies who will fight against Israel. And these enemies are not so far from us. It's not so much about other people, but we saw that our flesh is against God and against his purpose. Our soul life has other desires, other lusts. But despite having all these enemies, we are not desperate, because the Lord showed us that he will make it. Even if there are many enemies who rise up against Jerusalem and Zion, and even if there are many situations who want to make it difficult for us, God will reach his goal. And we see this in Isaiah 35:10. The redeemed of the Lord shall return. Amen. And come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And it is good for us to have this encouragement. God will reach his goal. The enemies will not win, but God will be the victor. And he is looking for a remnant. The Lord, or in Isaiah, the remnant is mentioned 17 times. Yeah, something will come out of Judah and be a remnant. Verse 31 in chapter 37, and the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Israel shall go a remnant, out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We were very impressed about the word concerning the remnant. The people, they were numerous, but there was only a small remnant who escaped from the captivity in Babylon and came to Jerusalem. Only a few were really ready and willing to go to Jerusalem. And in our times, it's also like this. Many, many people believe in the Lord, but there are few who are ready to go all the way to the end and are ready and willing to pay the price. We speak to many people about the faith, but the majority reject the Lord. But it's also an encouragement and a confirmation that the fact that so many people reject the Lord and the Word was already prophesied in Isaiah. There is going to be a remnant. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And based on this, Isaiah 53 begins. This remnant has to be tested in the furnace of affliction. This affliction refines the remnant so that the remnant becomes even finer. And we want to be those who belong to the remnant. The afflictions test our faith. And during this conference, we will look at the afflictions and the sufferings of Christ, the sufferings through which we go today, but also to see the goal. Even in this short summary of Isaiah, we see the goal, Zion, Jerusalem. It's a city that God never gives up on. It's a city that he wants, and for this we need the sufferings. Isaiah 53, many, many Christians know this chapter.
Schlachterbibel nachschaut, gehört das Kapitel Jesaja 53 zu den Kapiteln, die den meisten Gläubigen gut bekannt sind.
This is one of the chapters that are most that is most known to the Christians. It's very commonly known. And many people do get to know the Lord through this chapter and come to believe in him. In Acts 9, the Ethiopian was also reading in Isaiah, and he was reading Isaiah 53. And he was reading verse 7 and verse 8. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He says, "No. How can I understand it if no one explains it to me?" And Philip declared to him, made known to him the gospel of the Lord based on Isaiah 53. Because this chapter really shows what the Lord accomplished. And truly, he did bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. But we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That was verse 4 and 5 of chapter 53 in Isaiah. This word shows our condition if we don't believe in Jesus Christ. We are in our transgressions. We have iniquities. Every person who does not accept Jesus Christ into his life is under the reign and rule of sin. We have committed many iniquities and trespasses. Even though when I talk to many people, this consciousness does not exist. They think, well, they're not so bad. Because you can always say, well, there are people who do worse things than I do. And people put themselves in a false picture of righteousness. But no one is righteous before God. We have all sinned against God. There is not one person can stand before God and say with a pure conscience that he is righteous. We all sinners. And that's why God had to let his son go through this way. Jesus Christ, his own son, he even, yeah, really pierced him. The Lord even said, if it may be, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. No other way in which we could have redemption. He was pierced for our sakes. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. God's righteous judgment will come upon all mankind. Everyone will be judged. But this chastisement, this punishment, was laid upon him that we may have peace. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he who believes in Jesus Christ and accepts him into his life, he will be freed from the punishment of his own sin, because Jesus carried it for him. And this is the good news. We can have a new life that is pure before God. This is the new man that each one receives when he accepts Jesus Christ into his life. And he who is baptized into Christ, he will also be transferred, conveyed out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God. And Philip
dem Kämmerer erzählt und für den Kämmerer war klar, das möchte ich haben.
must have told this gospel to the eunuch as well. And the eunuch believed and immediately was baptized. Paul did it the same way, as Paul was 3 days and three nights. He fasted and he didn't eat and didn't drink for 3 days, 3 nights after the Lord appeared to him. Then Ananias came, and it was as if scales had fallen from his eyes. Immediately he was baptized. So this shows how inseparable faith and baptism are, and believing and baptism are. We need to accept Christ through faith and be baptized. In verse 10 of chapter 53, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Each one who believes in him is called his seed." So now the question is, if Jesus did all of this for us, what does it have to do with us? I also heard this before, and I saw that the Lord has done this. That means he has accomplished everything. So why are we still talking about this? Talking about something he has already accomplished. Jesus really fully accomplished the incarnation all the way into glory. He accomplished the redemption all the way to the throne. He laid the foundation for us so that we can follow this way. If he hadn't gone through all of this, then we wouldn't have a new life and we wouldn't have been able to draw near to God. But because he accomplished all of this, we have a foundation upon which we can also go this way and follow him on this way. So the scripture shows this to us as well, that we should follow him. In Revelation 14:4, there's a very important verse about those who will ultimately stand on Mount Zion, which is the goal that we are going after. These who have reached the goal and are standing on Mount Zion, they are described as follows. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. This is why we need Isaiah 53. On the one hand, we need to see what he has accomplished. On the other hand, we need to see that this is the way in which we need to go. We need to follow him.
And
Jesus doesn't want to be in the glory alone. But in Revelation 3:21, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." The goal is that the Lord would have many brothers and bring many brothers into glory, that we would be able to sit with Jesus on the throne. This now shows us what this has to do with us, why it pertains to us. Yes, he has accomplished all things, but he wants us to sit with him on the throne and reign with him when he comes again, and reign with him in the millennial kingdom. So, there is no other or simpler way but to also go through the sufferings. I wish there would be another way. But I believe and I am convinced that we must go the same way that he did. And we also have to go through sufferings. Why? Because the Lord, through sufferings, had to learn many things. In Hebrews 5:8, that through everything he suffered, he learned obedience. Even though he was without sin, he had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. So how else will we learn obedience if I don't also go through the same dealing and treatment as he? Of course, we cannot suffer in the same measure as the Son himself, but we need to learn obedience. And in verse 17, chapter 2 of Hebrews, it says he became merciful, and he learned to be merciful through the sufferings. I can already underline this point. We can only learn mercy, or I can only learn to be merciful if he shows me my weakness. And I can only learn to be merciful when I realize that I can do nothing. And then I will then be merciful with those around me. And he can sympathize with us because he has suffered. He knows what it is to live as a man and go through all temptation. He understands and he can help us. That's why he is our faithful high priest. Amen. Sufferings are directly related with perfection. If we talk about the goal of heavenly Jerusalem and that we want to be mature in faith, then the Bible shows us in many sections that this coming to perfection is connected to the sufferings. Isaiah 53, verse 10. I read it already. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So we see a sequence here. First, he has to give his soul as an offering for sin. And then he will see his seed. This order is something we see multiple times in the Word, that these two things belong together. If we want to reach the goal, and if we want to be perfected, if we want to reach maturity, then we have to go through the suffering. Because sufferings and perfection are directly connected to one another. And then it says, in verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. First comes the labor, and then the satisfaction. John 12, the Lord talks about himself. If the grain of wheat does not fall into the ground and die, it will be alone, but if it dies, it will bring much fruit. So he says, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny his soul life. And he who wants to keep his soul life will lose it. So we see first the labor comes, the dying comes, the losing of the soul life comes, and then the fruit comes. Unfortunately, we often have a different concept inwardly. Let's enjoy now. Let's gain life. But the Lord says, and the scripture says, we will lose our soul life if we go about it this way. So we need it to be written, have it written on our hearts, that we need to lose our soul life today to gain it. So that's why we have to go through sufferings, because through the sufferings, God can affect a lot within us and really deal with our soul. And we're not just talking about sufferings for the sake of sufferings, but the sufferings have a purpose. In the sufferings, he wants us to gain more of Christ. That in the difficult times, we come to Jesus and we lay hold of him. So that the sufferings can really help us experience more of the Lord. Philippians 3:10 is very impresses me a lot. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So we need to know him in all aspects, not in just the good things, but also in the difficulties. So sufferings come in different forms for different people. There are some things that are sufferings for me, but it's not so bad for other people. But we should be encouraged that even if it's difficult for us, he can show us something and deal with us if we come to him and we cry out to him. So how do these sufferings manifest themselves? It doesn't always have to be the really difficult situations, but it begins in small aspects. In Matthew 24, about following the Lord, he wants to save his life or lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake, he will gain it. This proud heart can really be dealt with very well through suffering. To realize that I can't do everything, and where I realize that I come to the limits of my capacity, this is when the Lord can really change something within my heart, that I will become merciful and that the pride is dealt with. And he who has suffered can really comfort others who are in the same situation. I also experienced this in bringing up my children. When they're very rebellious, and I have to admonish them, correct them, and I want to bring them back to the right path, it's not easy for my soul life. And I realize this is not an easy situation. And I notice very quickly if I'm in the spirit or in the flesh. It's a little suffering where I realize I need to experience the Lord in his pure and fine humanity, to, without wrath, without frustration, to correct them and to help them. And if I spend a lot of time with the kids in the afternoon, then I realize I don't have that much time for my soul. I would love to sit down and in peace and just read something, but I always have to be active. I always have to be present, I have to solve conflicts. And then I realized I also have to lose myself off in this. And this I can already learn to this, to take this type of suffering and come to learn and experience. Or to help at home and to clean the same mess every day without becoming bitter. This can become a form of suffering where we can experience
it.
Or to go and preach the gospel.
Or
to speak to acquaintances about the faith. And this you also have to do away with the shyness, with the comfort, with the fear of man. And in this you can also gain the Lord and to be bold to speak about the Lord, and then it is a joy. Of course, there are much larger forms of sufferings. But we can start with the small things and exercise to come to Him and to take Him. That even the small things wouldn't lead us away from the Lord or discourage us. But in these things, to already learn to gain Christ. And then we will be ready to go larger steps, or take larger steps. The sufferings are not a punishment from God, and they shouldn't pull us down. But they should show us something. It should bring us to Him so that we can experience and gain something of Jesus Christ. Then it really has makes sense, and it has a goal, a purpose.
Amen.
The title, to be perfected through sufferings. These days, it's about coming to maturity. Around us, many things are coming to maturity. Fruits are also coming to maturity. In the world, things are also ripening. Here on the outline, we mentioned a few examples that show us that everything is coming to an end, that show us how close the Lord's coming is. And before the Lord comes, many things have to ripen. One aspect is what happens with the people of Israel. Just like in the state of Israel was founded after so many years of it not existing. Suddenly it came into being. Or that Jerusalem was brought back to the people of Israel, to the Jews. It was almost 2,000 years it didn't belong to the Jews. And if we see also the other events that are mentioned here, we see that in the last few years, the things have, many things that have occurred. There were the tetrads, There was the constellation that's mentioned in Revelation 12.
In 2017,
in society, many things are coming to maturity. Just like the Lord said, the days will be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is the condition in which we're in today. And in 2017, we see that marriage is free for all in Germany. This immorality is coming to fruition. I said, for the sake of my kids, I want to move away from Germany. But he told me, you will not find any country in which this will not be the case, because everything has to come to maturity and ripen also in society. That means in all aspects, even in our society, things are maturing. But these are all things that are mentioned also in Revelation 14. This will also be harvested, but there will reap the Lord's judgment. But God wants something much different to come to maturity, to ripen. He wants his sons to grow up. We can read Romans 8. Let's read 18 and 19. Romans 8, 18 and 19. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So not just God, but the entire creation has this longing for the sons of God to be revealed. In my garden, I have a fig tree. Or rather, I had a fig tree. Two years, he did not bring any fruit. He did not bear any fruit, and I already thought, I'm going to get rid of this tree. But in the third year, this tree really bore fruit. And I started to touch the fruit to see if it's ripe. But it wasn't ripe enough. If you want a really intense taste from this fruit, you need to wait just a little longer. And if you wait just this little bit longer, it'll taste like honey. And the Lord, shortly before his coming, and he wants the fruit to really be ripened so that he will have fruit within us. And this is the only reason we are talking about sufferings now. Because without sufferings, no fruit will come about. Through sufferings, the Lord can deal with the things in you that do not, that are not tasty for him, the things that he doesn't like, things that don't taste good to him. Something he wants within us, something that will glorify God. Sufferings bring us into glory and are nothing compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. In chapter 4, verse 17, it says that our suffering is limited. It will produce for us an eternal weight of glory. We can really actually rejoice in this. Because he wants fruit to come forth, something that he likes, that tastes good to him, something that will glorify him. Everything else will result in judgment. Among my relatives, I have seen some who really rejected the Lord. And if I look at their condition today, I also see fruit that has ripened, but it's not good fruit. You really see the old man and all the negative aspects. These have also ripened in their speaking, how they deal with one another. They really like to fight. It's really ugly. But in the Lord, the Lord wants to gain fruit that tastes good to him. And that's why the Lord shows us, because he is coming quickly, he is revealing to us that we need suffering. We need suffering to reach maturity. Just like Yoni said, there is no other way. This is what he has to write in our hearts today. This is his desire, because he wants us to mature. It is wonderful that the Lord gives us this grace to see this. And I don't want to pass by this grace. Don't want to. I want to lay hold of this.
That
in these situations, I want to see now it's the chance to gain Christ. Not to complain, not with murmuring, not with any complaints, but to say, Lord, how can I experience you in this? Where do you want to deal with something? This is the attitude that the Lord has to work into us, because I want to be a ripe fruit for the Lord. Because the Lord is coming to get this fruit. He's coming because he wants to finally harvest. So as we are, the Lord shows us, you need suffering to come to maturity. Just like the Lord was perfected through suffering, as we read before. We can read the verse again. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Can you read it? Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Amen. That means the Lord doesn't let things happen by chance. He doesn't let sufferings come to us just because out of fun, there's no reason. But it's with love, with compassion and sympathy. And he lets it happen because he has a purpose with it. He has a goal before his eyes. And this is what he wants to reach with us. And that's why there are difficulties in our lives. In the life of a Christian, there is no such thing as coincidence. He knows exactly what happens in your life. And he lets things happen so that we can experience Christ. This is the goal of the Lord. The Lord always has the same goal. He never changed his purpose. And so he wants us to receive his view of things. May the Lord really open our eyes in these days, that we would see what the Lord wants to show us, that we would be these ripe fruits that taste good to him. Oh Lord, yeah. Lord, bring us to maturity. Want to be those who are ready when you come. Lord, we don't want to avoid the suffering. Lord, renew our vision again and again to be perfected through sufferings. Thank you, Lord, that we can partake of your glory. Father, give us your mind, that we see things through your eyes. We don't want to complain and resist, but we want to say amen to your way. In every situation, we want to redeem it to gain you. Lord, we want to mature and reach maturity and to learn in all things to lay hold of you. Lord, for this, really renew our mind. Lord, really renew our mind. Lord, we also want to put aside all fear. Lord, we want to be thankful even for all the sufferings that you prepare for us, that we have been counted worthy to go through these sufferings. I praise the Lord as I came here and I sat down. I said, I want to learn the complete Christ, everything of Christ, whole Christ, not just one part of him, one half of him, and not the other half. And it really spoke to me that the first fruits are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. I didn't really think about what this means, but now we have heard what this means to follow the Lamb. But where does it lead them? Leads them to the place where we all want to be. When in Hebrews it talks about chastening, it says he chastens us so that we can partake of his glory. And this is what we all want. We have to go through this way to gain so much, to receive so much. In Isaiah, it says that the heavens are his throne. And I read this the day before yesterday. How many stars there are in the galaxy next to us. And the Lord says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Then I really have to say, what is man that you are mindful of him? Really, I think in relation to what we will receive, we have to give very little. But we want to be sons of God. This year, I suffered a lot. I think the Lord is really, making it hotter for me. But one thing that did make me happy is that my wife said, you have changed, praise the Lord, through these sufferings, through this heat. Ask your wife or husband, have I changed? I've concluded that when we suffer, the strength of our old man is taken away and the inner man finally can break through. Through the sufferings, you're almost paralyzed outwardly. Then the inward man has a chance to break through. I don't know if I should praise the Lord for the sufferings, but I know one thing. I want to know the entirety of Christ, or Christ in his entirety, and to follow him with all of you. And I am happy. It says that we can be perfected through sufferings, and we don't have to remain stuck somewhere. There is a small remnant, or the remnant is only so small, shows that many people have stopped in this way to follow the Lamb when sufferings come. But with the Lord, the sufferings increased, and at the end it was the worst suffering, or the hugest suffering. I want to be perfected. I have been on this race for over 30 years, and now I want to be perfected with all of you. I'm really thankful for the sufferings. One other thing, there were points and moments in my life this year where I thought, maybe the Lord is, I questioned if the Lord was still with me. It's actually not good. I asked the Lord, what should all this mean? As I was going through the sufferings, I said, where are you? What should I learn? Well, in sufferings, there is suffering. But at the end, you know, you don't remain in the valley. And at the end, afterwards, the Lord can reveal so much. And after the sufferings, there is much revelation. And the Lord showed me something special this week. Many men of God were shepherds. Abel was a shepherd. Moses was also a shepherd. For 40 years, he took care of the sheep. He was a shepherd for 40 years, something we read over quite quickly. David, he was also a shepherd. Saints, we all have sheep whom we protect or take care of. Every one of us has a situation that we are keeping sheep. Even in our marriage, we can keep sheep. But it is something positive, not negative. The Lord has showed me you need to keep your sheep so that fruit can come forth, so that you don't try to avoid the goal, so that you don't complain. Often we complain against God and we don't even realize it. And we have to keep our sheep day in, day out. But we have to see what happened within Moses. It's really astonishing. 40 years. If I see this, I don't complain so quickly anymore at work, in the marriage life. When things don't go the way I want them to, the Lord kept these sheep, or Moses kept the sheep for 40 years. And what was the result? He was the most humble man on this earth. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for all sheep that we keep. Your kids will also be a herd of sheep. May the Lord take care of them. But the fruit will also result. Fruit of righteousness. This really touched me what was said. The Lord learned mercy also through his sufferings. Can you imagine? God is so great. God, in his righteousness, does not understand the fallen man. But this Jesus, he suffered. He can sympathize with us to live on what it, and know what it is like to live on this earth. So, thank the Lord. I really thank the Lord for the fruit. that the sufferings bring forth. And I thank the Lord for all the things He has changed in us. And it is really a change for the Father. Praise the Lord. Let's keep going until we reach the goal to follow the Lamb, even when the way is not easy. But we have seen the goal is Zion. Bring us to Zion. Lord, we want to follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Lord, really thoroughly renew the spirit of our mind. Really change our view of the sufferings in a thorough way. And to accept them. And to learn to see the fruit that will result. And to see the joy that is set before us. Lord, we praise You. That it pleases You to reveal this to us in these days. Lord, we all want to be perfected and be brought to the goal. Matthew 22:8. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who are invited were not worthy." The other verses is 2 Peter 3:9. He is not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, we praise You. Father, we praise You. Praise the Lord that the Lord gives us not only an example, but shows us the way in which we should go. First Peter 4:18. Yeah, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Or in German it says if a righteous one is saved only through difficulties, or in a difficult way. Only through difficulties will he be saved, but he will be saved. So we are not just talking about the salvation from eternal condemnation from the lake of fire. You don't need suffering for that. You need to believe and be baptized. But this verse talks about a righteous one. This verse talks about righteousness. Talks about the righteous one. The righteous one also needs to be saved. As believers, the Lord has to bring us to perfection. He said, "Be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." These are verses that are difficult to read. How can the Lord reach this with us? It's not through nice things or good speaking, but it's through difficulties. Through these difficulties, we can reach the goal. Praise the Lord. This really encouraged me tonight to see that the more the perfection comes, the more we have to come to maturity, because the Lord is coming very quickly and the kingdom is standing before the door. So there have to be some people who are prepared for the coming of his kingdom. And this preparation and this equipping and this maturity is the same way that the Lord went.
Ohne Leiden auf dieser Welt gewesen.
The Lord was not on this earth without any suffering, but he was tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. So why should our way be any different? If the Lord is coming quickly, then we have to let ourselves be perfected through suffering. And Hebrews 5 says he was the Son, but he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been and he has, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So everything that he accomplished, he did for us, so that we today have a way, exactly as he did, to be perfected until his second coming. Praise the Lord for this. He went this way. He was the captain. And now we are following the Lamb until he comes, so we can enter into his kingdom. There are a few verses that we have read recently that show us that this way of sufferings is connected to the entrance into the kingdom. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who enter the kingdom have to go through persecution. None of us like this. We would rather be recognized and to be friends with everybody. But here it says, he who wants to own the kingdom of heaven, he will be persecuted. And Acts 14, verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through much enjoyment, enter the kingdom of God. Is that what it says? With much joy and rejoicing, enter the kingdom of God. We would prefer this if the apostles had given such an encouragement. But the apostles, they encouraged the disciples by saying to them, you must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. I don't know what kind of encouragement this is. If someone told us this, then I think we would all be downtrodden and we would all be discouraged. But the view of the apostles was that if you want to enter the kingdom of God, then you have to go through many tribulations to enter in. Through many. And then 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your enjoyment and joy which you endure. We would much rather read the verse like this. But here it says, in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God. It is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Praise the Lord for this. If we go through sufferings, regardless of what kind it is, the Lord uses it as a judgment for us, so that we will all be prepared. There are many things in us that still have to be judged, But through the tribulations which we endure with the Lord, it says, we will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. How wonderful. It is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer.
Amen.
He who wants to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, then this way is a way that goes through sufferings. Even to come here tonight is a suffering, or everyone has to sit here and fan themselves. We could have done something else tonight. I don't think anyone wants to be here. Or? Okay, one person at least. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Amen. In Revelation 1, which John the Apostle said, in verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. These are the kinds of people God wants to
be.
If you want to be a partaker of the kingdom, you also have to be a companion in the tribulation. These two things go together. So, in this conference, we want to see both. To see the sufferings that the Lord went through
and
lived out for us, so that we can also gain an entrance into the kingdom. Let's read Hebrews 12, 2. To have focus for the next few days. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.